Blog Talk Radio.
It's November 12, 2023, and it's cold. And our good friend Melissa is taken ill. She's going to the hospital, so our prayers go out to her. And if we find in, if Gene finds out anything before the end of the show, we will let you know. Right, Gene? Right.
Absolutely. Gene? I muted myself. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
If I need anything out, I will break in and let you know.
All right. And we got B, I think that's, I can't see the chat room very well, but I think that's BL Rose 19. Now BL Rose 19 is gone. And now BL Rose is back. Okay. Scotty. What's going on at the truck plant?
Wow.
Did you get some balls or what?
Well, I mean, so I'm trying to think who that dude was. Gomer Pyle, wasn't it? Surprise.
Yeah, you ain't lying. Shazam. My gosh.
That hasn't happened in life.
I don't know. Has it ever happened in my lifetime? I don't think so.
No.
I can't remember us ever voting a contract down, ever.
Back in your day, all the contracts were decent. Even the concessionary ones, you still got paid. Anyway.
I voted no on everyone but the 79. 79, you couldn't vote no. I mean, that was too good. Too good.
Yeah. But sweet contract.
You bet your butt. That's why that was historic. This contract now is not historic. I'm sorry to tell Mr. Fain, President Fain.
It's been referred to as theatrical.
Yeah. That's a good word. That's a good word. I'm very happy. I'm very proud of the Flint Truck Plant in Flint. It builds the best trucks in the world. Sorry, Ford.
They wouldn't post that. The UAW wouldn't post that on the spreadsheet. So somebody got on there on social media and shared that to, I think it was the Spring Hill, Fort Wayne, and Arlington, and Wentzville,
really?
I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Darn.
So they could show, look, see, it can happen.
Okay, there's 2 seconds left. Hold on, 2 seconds left in the game. We're about to kick a field goal that will win the game if we kick it. And two players are hugging each other and want to start singing Ebony and Ivory, but I won't. It's 4th and 12, so they're definitely not going to go for it. And it's...
No.
I don't know what 41-yard attempt. You should nail it, but, you know, who knows? Right. Here we go. And it is good, baby. With no time left on the clock, the Detroit Lions are now 7-2, 41-38. Oh, my God. Michigan beat Pennsylvania yesterday. Oh, what a weekend. Okay.
Ohio State.
I don't care.
Michigan State.
Well, what a surprise that was. 38-3.
Okay. Yeah.
They kept them under 40. That was a surprise to me. And
we'll see. Go ahead.
State is struggling, and we don't like that.
Yeah.
We like them to at least put a team on the field, and they've had coaching problems, so. Hello.
Yep.
Calder City Band is here in the chat room. He says hello to everybody. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to get into the conversation. We will not be accepting phone calls 15 minutes before the show ends. And we will end at the appropriate time. How about that, Scott? Was that sounding good? Yeah, I felt like I was
That's
somebody.
Official.
Yeah, but
official, you know, like.
I'm like
that
jello.
That almost sounded like you meant it.
Yeah, it did sound like it, but you know how that goes. Somebody call in and start talking and talking and talking, and you got to smack them around a little bit. Okay, go ahead, Scott. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, hey, not a whole lot. There's some discussion needs to be taken around our language of our pension. Financial gains, it appears, for the corporation by the end of this contract, not so much for us, and language concerning part-time temporaries. I'm sure we're going to have somebody call in and explain what they found, which would be resourceful for the listeners, I believe.
Well, is this person going to call in, Scotty?
Yes, they will.
Okay, good.
And been kind of monitoring social media a little bit, not a lot. It's kind of calmed down since the ratification vote, but there's a lot of unhappy people. Oh, I know something else that the caller probably will enlighten us with is for the in progression when they're done, seeing how they have no pension, no health care. There'll be a little bit of discussion around that, I'm sure. But the people aren't happy. There's been a divide caused from the union. So much for solidarity.
Yeah.
Also, as of Thursday, nobody's really posted any more totals on the official UAW site. And some people have made some comments about that. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Some of them get posted.
They're hiding the results? Is that what's going on?
Well, that's kind of what it appears. What's the word I'm looking for? Transparency.
Did they post the Flint truck plant?
No, they did not.
They didn't.
No, wow. or Flint engine.
Hmm.
Or Flint engine. It doesn't seem like the ones that have shot it down have not been tallied up yet.
Yeah.
So, surprise.
Yeah, it is, really. It really is a surprise. I didn't think we were going to do the same thing as the old regime.
Well, wow. In appearance.
Well, if it's not posted, it is an appearance. It's not posted. And you had the results. You sent me the results. They should have had that posted. Win or lose, they should have posted it. So they're hiding it from other plants.
Yeah, well...
Oh, hold on.
Again.
Okay. BL Rose 19 said they have posted our results on the news today. Only seen one article. I know Yahoo News had a Flint truck on there.
Really?
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, I sure do. Send them and send it to me in my email. If I can find my email, be one lucky turkey. Let's see here. Okay. Hold on. If I got it, I will. I know I've got it. I'll play it. Okay. If I don't stay on top of this email crap, Flint Assembly. Let's see here. Yeah, I made national news through Yahoo News anyway. UAW workers at GM's Flint plant narrowly vote against.
September to cheer on striking auto workers. Political analysts declared it a historic and risky maneuver. Critics blasted him for picking sides while he claimed to be the
most
pro-union
Biden
president ever.
Maybe this will go into the truck plant. I don't know.
Now it seems politically the move has paid off. Yahoo Finance's Rick Newman has more.
Hey, guys. That is one of the first things I thought of when I heard about the UAW settlement. We don't have final ratification yet, but it looks like there is a deal and the workers are going to go back to work too much real damage to the economy. And one way or the other, instead of a bunch of really weird stuff looted and some of the happening at a time when Americans actually...
What should we be paying attention to next?
Okay, I don't see why she would send me this. It does say it's not even a tape. I thought we had a tape. Just says United Auto Workers Union members at Flint, General Motors Flint Assembly Plant in Michigan have nearly voted against a proposed contract with the U.S. automaker. The vote signals that the approval of the deal, which is set to raise costs significantly for GM, General Motors, is not guaranteed. In a Facebook post Thursday, the UAW Local 598 said 51.8% of the votes cast were against the deal. General Motors said it had no comment. Shares of the company, we don't care about the shares right now. Workers at the company's other plants are expected to vote on the agreement in the coming weeks. Coming weeks? Come on now. Of the total votes cast at the company's various facilities so far, about 58% of the workers voted in favor of the deal, according to UAW Vote Tracker. Workers that are yet to vote at some GM's major plants, including Arlington Assembly Plant in Texas, Fort Wayne Truck Plant in Indiana, which produce some of the company's most profitable vehicles, who didn't go on strike. Union workers are voting on the contracts from each of Chrysler's owner, Stellantis, General Motors, and Ford, after the first coordinated strike against Detroit Big Three automakers. Okay, the vote in Flint Assembly, which manufactures Silverado's heavy-duty pickup truck, comes after Detroit Three automakers and the UAW reached tentative agreements in the last few weeks to end a costly strike. Okay, bad, bad, bad. Okay, go ahead, Scott. It sucks. Anyway, that was on Yahoo Finance.
No, Payne was on last week, and he was basically urging us all to vote yes for this agreement.
Yeah.
And one of the vice presidents was on, basically, you know, if this don't, this don't happen, we could lose everything.
No.
Wow. And then there's a letter going on for...
You know
that
how many
truck.
Times we've heard that crap, Scott? How many times have they said the same damn thing? In my 35 years of working, I must have heard that outside of the 70, last contract in 79 that I voted for. I heard that every time. It's the best we can do. If we don't do it, we're going to fall at the beginning. Japan's going to take over our market and all this other crap. That was back in the 80s. I just crazy. You start talking bullshit, it falls on deaf ears. You got to come up with something else. The truth. It never hurts to tell the truth.
Well, it's funny when they say that there was no money left on the table. And then we find out at the vault that, and I'm not saying it's the bad thing. It's just for the example, folks. We said there's no money left on the table, but we're going to scoop up and we're going to give all the temporaries of the 1,850 hours credited for this last year so they get a profit-sharing check.
Yeah.
So, where'd that money come from? Somebody didn't look under the corner of the table or something. Oh, look, we found a couple extra mil just sitting here.
Oh, man.
Well, what about the back pay that they're going to do for the difference of the $500
strike fund retroactive to the 15th, including, it will include the pay raise. Now, what they would have been making, you know, it would include the pay raise. Where'd that money come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Well,
and as far as, like, Stellantis, there's no tracker for them, so they're voting. There is, and then the lease program is not in the white pages. And then that reminded me of, in the GM contract, how there's things that are still in negotiation. There's no solid language for it, but they're going to still negotiate after the contract is ratified. How does that work?
Don't know.
Fun times. Fun times.
Yeah. Well, let me go back to the switchboard here and make sure nobody... Oh, damn. Now we're full. 269, I'm putting you on right now. 269, you're on.
Hello. This is Lois, Pat Meyer, Labor Relations, and we've had several calls this week. And a question we couldn't answer, they're saying that a contract is something that's important, but they're going to the living wage. Do you have any backing on what that's all about? I think we probably had 900 calls asking that question. We're not sure who they were coming from. We only know that it did cause some information calls from out of state, actually, and some people that complained as retirees that they, of course, didn't do as well as they thought. So I'd like some insight on it, if you can.
Scott?
Hello? Yep, this is Pat.
Okay.
Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
What kind of insight are you looking for?
Actually, the answers, I did not know that. You know, I just run an agency, and I heard the question asked a couple of times. Well, you know, we got a living agreement, and I thought the question was a good one. And then I said, well, why are you asking the question? They say, because if you don't have a contract and we're not sure about all the changes or if everything has been completed, so that everybody can feel free that the questions were asked, and some plants are saying they don't know what's going on. I just thought it was an information source from us. We get over 900 calls a week, and we don't pretend to not ask anything, or if we think they need to know an answer, we suggest anybody that's living in a plant. And so I thought it was important enough to ask that question tonight.
I don't think it's a living agreement. Ford's contract has, I think it's Appendix J.
Okay.
Which appears to make it in the living agreement. I'm not sure about ours. I think Gene was going to the white pages. I'm not sure.
Well, let me get some callers on. 517, you are on, and Carrie, you are on.
Can you have an answer to that? Thank you.
Go ahead.
The question was the difference between a contract and a living agreement, and the calls that we took in. I didn't want to answer them because I usually call and ask the questions, and there were several, and that was probably one of the largest questions this week that we know. We thought we'd ask the group tonight.
We know what a living agreement is, Scott.
I can give you a kind of a rundown on that real quick. I mean, just keep it real simple. A collective bargaining agreement is an agreement that's bargained between the union and the company.
Okay. Yes.
Either for a specific spot or location or nationally as a whole. That information is then registered through the Department of Labor.
That makes good sense.
FCC, and the IRA, or the IRS, because of pensions and monies involved. A living agreement is a different animal because it lives in perpetuity until one side or the other or both decide to dissolve it. And then letters are sent to make sure that happens. That's sent to the Department of Labor as well and to those associated parties. The living agreement is basically what it says. We have this agreement. We live with this, and we keep going, and we don't bargain another agreement. And that's why it's
okay.
hard at a national level to
They can add to it or subtract.
So what happens in a living agreement?
At any time during the agreement.
Exactly. So what happens in a living agreement is if the corporation wants to make an adjustment to the agreement, and they do this a lot on a local level that has a living agreement, all management has to do is send a letter telling the union that this is the changes that they are going to make. And it goes forth.
Okay.
If the union wants to make an adjustment in the living agreement, to send a letter to the regional, which sends a letter to the servicing rep in that department, at Solidarity House, and then it's met upon down at Solidarity House with the International Executive Board, and then they petition that over to the corporation, at which time the corporation can or will not have to apply that.
Right.
So a living agreement is very one-sided.
Okay.
It would appear to me it might be, that might be the reason they're calling, and I thought it was a good call to make to you today because that's one of the situations that people don't understand, and we were shocked at this. I don't know where it came from, but I do know that our lines have talked about it, and I said, gee, I'm going to call you gentlemen tonight and ask what they think, and Scott's wife's really knowledgeable what's going on too, so I thought it would be an answer. We're going to get it out to our people, and there's always a situation, and to set out there and not say anything about it, we don't do it. And I thought it would be the answer. And so I've listened to both sides of this, and we'll make sure we get back to them. And some of the retirees have felt for a long time, and you gentlemen all know that, and ladies, that they were concerned about, you know, when they didn't get money and all the time that they wanted something to be done, it was never done, and they really didn't know who to call, I think. And that's why I thought enough when I saw all these call situations, you gentlemen would be able, and thank you for explaining that to me at this time, because I'll make sure everybody knows that, and we'll take it just the way you did, and appreciate the program and hope that all is done. I hear people saying we don't even know what we're doing. They haven't signed anything. We don't even address that. We just ask them what they should do is go to their factories or where they're situated, where they can ask their union officials. We get a lot of backlash, and the backlash is criticizing. And the criticizing is they no longer have pensions and they were no longer given their seniority. The seniority issue was huge with us. Because we have people right now in the Lansing plant that have 16 years, and they took away 10, and it's been a real situation. And my father was a leader, if you want to know, at one time in Grand Rapids. They now call it Delphi, but it was General Motors for many years. Long before he left, did they go to this question that's arriving tonight? And I think it's a good one. And I'm not sure. I would encourage your people, because I've been doing this 42 years with combinations with the Kalamazoo plant that never closed and left people on the street. And usually that's why, and I've heard about your information line, and I thought it would be a good question to ask and to give some thinking to you what the people are saying right now, and especially retirees, hoping that they'll get another opening. And thank you, gentlemen. And the other friend of mine, and I appreciate you listening and have people think about it. I know when they put the people back in the plant before anything was settled, you get a pro and con of that, and you both and everybody know this. So there are questions out there, and when I saw this deluge come, I thought it would be something I should offer to all of you, and I want to thank you for giving me the time.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question, though, on this living agreement.
Hi.
Now, if they have things that are open in the contract when it's ratified, that
right.
there's still negotiation, wouldn't that leave it open to be able to change other things in the contract?
That's right.
That's a question. I think that's right. That's the right thing to think about.
Okay.
And I think that's something I'll return back to them. I think it's a good situation to do that. And appreciate this program and know that we're working extremely hard with everyone and have been. And if anybody on your line wants to know about the books, about the union during the corruption and that, we have them. It goes to Box 265, Pat Meyer. I've written them. They've been already put through all the systems, so if anybody wants to take that time in West Olive, Michigan, 49460, I'm making that offer because I am closing my home at this time, and we have several books about unions. And I was vice president of postal unions for many years, and we're not the same, but I felt compelled tonight to call and ask these questions. Again, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Union,
Jerry,
the best person has.
Thank you.
Pat Myers, the best person. All right.
So, I mean, honestly, with those things being open, would that in turn, without language actually being in there, turn those contracts into living agreements? Good question. Where they can go in and change anything?
I think they have the right, but then I was federal employees for the postal union, so when I negotiated, we were taken out of our own state. We always went to D.C., and then I heard some other people talking at this time that really surprised me. They said that they don't really know what's going on. They think Fain did a good job, but the question right now was this one that certainly picked up on it, and I thought it was well to, you know, to talk about. And so that's the reason I called, and that's the reason I say if you need anything, all it's laws and Box 265 in West Olive, Michigan. If you need history on the union, I presented it in Washington in 2008. Stabenow has all my records, whether you like her or not, and I don't know that she's done everything that she should have done for the workforce. But I know that she asked me to campaign for her before she became a senator, and I always sat back with my writings and make it as honest as I can, because I feel the workforce and the people like your programs are making it good for the people. I will make the comment out tonight of what we did say we thought it was. And the question is, Ford talks about it. We already know many other areas do. But when I was the postal vice president of the United States, when something came up, you had networks like this. I think people today were so disappointed with all of the corruption within the UAW. I went to many, I actually testified in Washington, and you can check that, about when we told them about the leaders of those stealing people in the union. And I thought that it should be made public. And I think today, having programs like this, you get the truth out there. And if there are questions, I was concerned, though, a little bit about saying that it could be a living agreement or contract. My word always, when I was in the VP position, it was contract was our big thing. And so if I made any inroads, or if you want to talk to me at any time, you certainly can. And I've written the books, and you're welcome to let me know your opinion at this time. And if you have an answer to anything special, I'll make sure you get it to your workers. And again, thanks.
Okay. 517. Let's get 517 on, and maybe this person knows a little bit too. 517, you're on.
Hello, and thank you for having me today. Hi.
Hey.
Good to hear everybody here again. Scott has reached out to me a couple times, and I reached out to him across the years. We've stayed in touch and been collegial all many times. I'm Leroy, by the way.
Hi, Leroy. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm pretty good.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah. Of course, the COVID was tough on all of us, and we got through that. But there's more important things. Scott invited me
absolutely.
And I've had... Yeah, thank you. He and I have had some pretty in-depth conversations about what's going on here. And more importantly, Scott and I on this show in 2015 broke down all three Detroit 3 agreements and their white pages. And what we found that during that time, this predates a lot of people's activity or involvement, notwithstanding Sister Pat Meyer, who's been doing this for a very long time as well. But notwithstanding, there's some people that are new to this and didn't get the advantage of Scott and I breaking these down in 2000, 2015, in the fall of 2015, during that negotiations 8 years ago. So he's asked me to come on and confirm that and address a couple other issues as well. I should mention this whole notion of a living agreement. They do exist. Typically, they don't exist in UAW contracts, albeit we had a service and rep in Toledo that said there was actually invisible language. Of course, now there are National Labor Relations Board complaints about the invisible language that he referred to, and the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, that they put in that superintends the national agreement. And the national agreement, paragraph 220, prohibits any and all documents from superintending the national agreement. So what it is at the national level. You may have an MOU to address matters at the local union level. And, of course, the national parties could open and have an MOU, but that would be subject to the sub-council's approval. And they did that in October of 2005 with the VEBA plan. They actually opened the agreement and had the sub-council vote to have go forward with a lawsuit in the VEBA. Notwithstanding that the VEBA history shows that it was the result of a contract verse, it was actually a result of a lawsuit, of which I was the intervening plaintiff in that particular case. But they did open it to adjust the agreement, but they had to do it in a very organized and legal way. They do that by opening the agreement, calling in the sub-council, and having that sub-council affirm or deny anything they want to go forward with. In that case, they did. So that's the extent of a living agreement regarding the UAW. I know it, okay? And having said that, I want to address something for the reasons that will be already apparent, probably. Any and all things that I say, and I suggest that what Scott may be said here this evening regarding our thoughts regarding the contract, et cetera. They are subject to the protections from federal law, any and all of the four United States organic laws as described in the preamble of the United States Code and First and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution and Title 29 U.S. Code 157. I'm getting a few feedback.
So Leroy, we'll get the feedback.
Title 29 U.S.C. 157, protections of Title 29 U.S.C. 411A2, and any and all retaliations as protected by Title 29 U.S.C. 481E. That said, again, Scott's asked me to come forward and discuss this about 2015. Agreements. As indicated by the former guest here this evening, Pat Meyer, many of the rollout meetings, there have been questions, and a lot of questions, but in particular, I want to address the retirement questions. And I have, as most all of the groups have, I have parties in and around the nation. They give feedback. Retirement questions have never been answered by any party that was at the rollout meeting. They've sidestepped and not answered at all. They just take it over to something else.
Correct.
And you wonder why, okay? So the following language is in the pension plan. Exhibit A, it was changed in 2015. Scott and I broke down and found this to be in the Chrysler, now Stellantis, the Ford, and the GM agreements. In particular, GM had a little different nuance as they had the bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy relieved GM from any further liability after 2009 pension plans. No more liability. That's in the agreement. It was not changed in 2015. Therefore, it was either the 09 bankruptcy or the 2011 agreement that caused that to be in the 2015 agreement. Also indicated in the Pension Protection Act that was added of 2006 that was added to our agreement. This is federal law. Federal law has no business, in my opinion, in the opinion of most, to actually be in our agreement. We should have our own independent agreement. If they change the federal law, we should then revert to that. We revert to the federal law that exists, or maybe, you know, overturned. So the federal law and now our contract says, should the pension funding for single employers, by the way, the multiple employers have been fixed by the Biden administration, but they didn't address ours, to my knowledge.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, right. So the 80%, yeah. you get, if the funding falls below 80%, you get the lesser of the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, or 50%. The PBGC is pretty much about 90% of what you normally would get. So it's 50% of our pension would always be less than the PBGC. Should the funding fall below 60%, the pension plan ceases to make any payouts.
True.
Yeah. All right. Some have said that there's a letter requiring GM to add monies to the pension plan. No such letter has been produced by anybody. One of my team members and stalwart supporters from some 40 years sent this up to Rochester, and one of their representatives there said, oh, Leroy's a bad man, he's no good. I said that. That's sort of slanderous, wow, if you really take a look at that, right? Because I put this out and said I was incorrect. Again, they didn't produce any letter saying, refuting what I've said. The corporation has been relieved of any further liability after 2009.
Wow.
Under our contract and under federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there you have it. So that's why they don't want to address this pension agreement in public. And they demean and criticize and slander people who bring this to their attention, but yet they don't bring back anything that refutes what the language actually says. By the way, again, paragraph 220 prohibits any document to superintend the national agreement. The pension agreement is part of Exhibit A, or is Exhibit A. It's otherwise known as Retirement Supplemental Plan. Okay?
Okay.
So are there questions regarding that? Scott, do you have any questions on that? I mean, that kind of affirms what we did some 8 years ago.
I knew about what you did 8 years ago, interestingly enough, and I mean that. And I had family and lawyers that looked into it, and there was never, ever anything coming back out of Solidarity after 2006 and 2007. So we asked the questions, and I have data on it, but it never went any further. Your presentation tonight has been in my body for a long time to say, look what they've done. And your explanation was excellent. I would ask you, if you don't mind, and these people on the line can hear this, to send a box 265. It's called Laws. It's Labor Advocate Worker Solutions. We have never, as an institution, in 32 years, ever taken money from anybody with our agency. And people had asked me through this week and a week ago, we wish we could find someone like you that knew what was going on. And I'll even give you my address, box 265, West Olive, Michigan, Laws, or Pat Meyer. And I can give you the data. Today, after writing several books about this situation, I had said to my family and to this calling of people right now, we need to bring it out there. And I knew about it. I was asked to testify when they're building the cottage up at the lake up there. The people where the union was supposed to go. and I had all kinds of threats. But I do have the data, and I agree with what you're saying. So if you want to get a hold of me, please do. I'll make sure,
right.
And
since,
I walk
since,
all these listeners.
Since,
just do it.
Since,
just do
since,
it.
Since, it's talking about threats, since Tuesday when I sent this to one of my members, they had it previously, but I resent it, and that
yes.
was forwarded up to Rochester, I've been viciously attacked verbally, had my tires slashed. You know, I mean, this is a
I
serious
understand
thing.
What you say.
They do not
they
do not want it out there. So having said that,
correct.
I do have some more information and insight on this. And if you would like to hear that, I'd like to go forward with that, okay?
Well, if you're going forward, please know who I am. It's box 265
I know who
Salem,
you are,
Michigan.
I'm very familiar with you, Pat. And
okay.
Okay,
really
I want to work with you.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And trust me, we're going further.
Yeah, there's more to the story. There's more to the story. This
okay.
Language
I have a question.
Okay, hold on, everybody. Everybody, Adrian's on, and we got to sometimes stop and get people on. We got a lot of callers. Push one on your keypad, and I'll just put you on, and because, you know, we don't want to interrupt the flow. So, Adrian?
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I have a question for Leroy. When you speak about the pension plan and the changes made, when GM went bankrupt, did that not fall under the old GM? Because when they came out as a new GM. So what happens there? Do you know?
What happens is that the old GM was relieved of it, and the new contract going forward included that the GM that exists now, GM LLC, has no more further, has been relieved of any further liability after 2009. That's in the agreement as it stands now. That's in the agreement.
Give the year again, please.
2009.
Okay.
That is in the pension
okay.
plan, and those white pages are available. If they're not, I'll see to it that they're posted up. If Scott and I will discuss
yeah.
how best to do that for his audience. I don't want to be into anybody else's business here, but we'll make sure, and I'm quite sure Scott already has those. They maybe need to be posted somewhere so everybody can see them, and I'm happy to help
I'll
facilitate
go for
that, Scott.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
I
you.
Need
so
that facilitated.
Yeah. So that I hope that answered that question. It's in the agreement currently, so and the previous GM and the current GM have been relieved of the liability go forward because GM was changed, as everybody may or may not know, from General Motors to General Motors LLC. Very different.
Okay.
Very different. It's a limited liability company now, not a C-Corp. Oh, I'm sorry. It could still be a C-Corp, but the name is different. It's a limited liability company, not just General Motors.
Correct.
Okay, so it's an entity that's different.
So my question is, what would that mean for us today then, Leroy? I mean,
okay,
with the history?
Right. I'm happy to go forward with that. As we've seen, the 2007 October hires, subsequent to October 2007 hire, now we're seeing a balance that's about 50-50 at the moment.
Okay.
Mary Barra has said that they will have a 40% attrition rate, and most of those will likely come as through retirements into this pension plan that we just discussed. Okay.
Right.
So having said that, whether or not it's 40% or it's going to be something less than that, that they're backing up now saying, well, there's not as much demand. That's, you know, subjective at best. Okay. We don't know. I know this. She has had just about everything in her power has been pushed toward the EV implementation to the point that they had a problem in Korea with a huge loan from one of the Korean entities to facilitate EVs. They did get it paid, the loan, but it was a real problem, and it is documented on the watch of Elon Musk's company there. They have a watchdog there that they documented that. So that's something that other people have documented. I'm just reporting that. Now, having said that, let's say the 40% goes. Okay. And does anybody think that the country's economic position is in great stead here? I mean, you're looking at probably the Moody's downgraded the U.S. credit Friday at p.m. So that's going to be a problem. Interest rates
we
are going up.
That.
It'll be right. Yeah. All of these things don't look good going forward for the economy. Whether or not you agree with that or don't agree with it, should the economy take a downturn and one of these things get triggered, either 50% or cease to pay out? And many
That's
of these
my
people
concern.
Are already pushed into retirement, and there's only a very few tier ones left in the plant. Okay, and we're seeing the Facebook posts on this. The Facebook posts are very negative from the tier twos who've been vilified by the previous leadership, not by the rank and file, but by the previous leadership. Just horribly, the 2007 agreement and their treatment afterwards, horrible. We've all reported on it, all of us.
Yeah,
so
yes, we have.
And they're not predisposed to giving us any deference. So if you have a pension plan that's in any way lesser than it is now, and the people remaining in work that are tier ones, active work, are not very many, but they're angry because they can't retire now in what was expected throughout their entire life. So then the corporation comes in and says, we're going to have a certification vote.
Right.
Yeah.
I know that. Yes, that's correct.
You actually have to have vision, you know, and actually do the numbers and look forward and say, hey, this could happen, right?
Yep.
So here they come and they say, oh, okay, but we're only going to have a certification vote of the angry members because the tier twos, and this has been made manifest in the last few weeks, it appears as though since 2007, they've been extending the Constitution, Article 13, Section 22, limiting work permits to no more than three consecutive months, and every third month they've been re-signing a letter allowing work permits to go forward for another 3 months in violation of the Constitution. It was not signed by the international president recently this fall, not renewed, and subsequently, because of that, I know of at least approximately 300 people from the Grand River plant in Lansing that were laid off, and I understand other plants and other facilities at Lake Orion and or Fort Wayne, and I don't know about those firsthand.
Those three I can get your data on, anything you want.
They were laid off. I'm glad you can get the data because it supports on air what I'm saying here now. Okay. If they have a vote with members only, because the tier twos are not members. They are under a work permit, obviously now.
That's it.
Under a work permit, every 3 months being renewed, and they're subject to paying dues and all the protections of the Constitution, but may not participate in any of the goings on of the union affairs, and they've been allowed to vote to actually affirm this language in 2015, that tier twos were incentivized by up to $50,000 during the life of the agreement to vote yes to put this into the agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's do a little history here as we go forward. So that said, that's a possibility. If you have those angry tier ones voting because they just lost part or all of their pension in a downturn in the economy.
That's a huge thing. We should have reporters doing it. Yeah.
The UAW may no longer exist for the Detroit Three as we see it today. In other words, if they do not fix this pension language and take it back to at least 2014, there will be likely a vote, and that vote will likely turn down certification for the UAW as we know it. That's how important this is, and it has not been addressed in this agreement.
It's been hidden. You're absolutely
correct. And nobody wants to address it, and they're sidestepping any questions with it. Okay, so
I think we need to get busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got to get busy. We got a few days. They want to have this done by the 17th, and that's why I agreed at Scott's request to come on after lengthy discussions by him and myself, his wife present, to add her element to it as well. Thank you to his
wife for that. Thank you. That is correct.
We really appreciate that. So, Having said that, there's a little more to this. Let's take a look. I got two more things I'd like to take a look at. We just dealt with the Tier 2s really not even being members. They're under a work permit. Very clearly over the language of the occurrence that they didn't renew that letter for the 90-day extension, violating Article 13, Section 22. And any Tier 2 that wants to write an appeal, I'm happy to help. Okay.
Well, I'm going to ask for your help. I'm going to ask for your help.
I'll give you my information.
I got it, Pat.
So anyhow, having said that.
You got it.
And we're all working together to save our union. This is what it's about.
Absolutely.
That's why I prefaced it with all that federal law. Okay. So that way they can't come after us. We're actually trying to save this union. Because if they don't fix this retirement language, there's a very good chance in 2 to 3 years there will not be a UAW Detroit 3 as we know it.
That is correct.
Everybody needs to understand that.
That's something we can do.
We hear a lot about this, a lot of bluster. You know, and I do bluster, and we all do some bluster now and then. And it has some purpose sometimes. But you have to back it up with substance. Okay,
correct.
So we heard about 46% wage increase we're going to ask. All right, let's just put this in stark reflect. Considering that up to 40% attrition during the life of the contract. That's why Mary said this is only going to be for 4 years anyhow. Mary Barrow said this is only going to be for four. We don't care. It's all going to change in 4 years. What we just said, we talked about the union maybe not even being here, okay, and there's parties out there that would like to see the union go away.
Correct.
Absolutely, okay, absolutely. I mean, let's not forget Niemöller said they first came after the socialists, second they came after the unions, which third they came after the Jews, okay? I know that's a sore subject at the moment, but Niemöller was right. He was a pastor that vilified after the war the academics of the time who did not stop Hitler, and they had the opportunity. So they came after the unionists second. So there's parties out there right now that would love to see our union go away. So having
that is correct.
Direct labor costs right now, 100% as we speak. That's what they are. I don't care what the number is. It's 100% now. With a 26% increase upon signing, it goes up to 126%.
Okay.
Right? And then attrition of 40% we lose going to the transformation from combustible to EVs, you lose 40%. So 40% from 126 is 86%. So in the end, at the end of this agreement, there will be a 14% give back for direct labor costs to the corporation. Mary Barra is doing backflips into her swimming pool behind that agreement.
Correct.
We're over saying that's a great agreement.
No,
I don't know a Tier 1 or a Tier 2 that now with this knowledge should be voting for this at all.
Not at
all.
Okay.
So we know about the I got one more thing that we, Scott and I, didn't discuss, but it deals with the issue that Pat brought up earlier, and it has something to do with the transfer of Delphi, but then more importantly, some of those Delphi people were placed in Lordstown, and they were told that they would get $75,000 to move or not move as they had this reallocation. It wasn't a plant closing. Certainly it looked like a plant closing to me, but the Lordstown. So they had an arbitration.
It was. Go ahead.
The arbitration became a decision in favor of the members to pay the $75,000 to each member that was disadvantaged. There has been no compliance with this arbitration agreement settlement by the corporation. The union has not made a motion to compel in federal court the corporation to pay this money.
Oh, that's
and
a shame.
And the people have been told that it's part of this negotiation. This is already settled decision. It's not subject to additional negotiation.
Oh, man.
Right. The corruption as we watch it from the easy chairs lately, but I'm bringing it out there. I don't appreciate being vilified by other members of this union for bringing this out at all.
I'm going to say something really quickly right now.
And they are not going to like when I push back for being vilified like I was this past week.
We got to let Leroy speak because we're having a hard time hearing. People are complaining that they can't hear me barely.
I'm sorry to hear that. Just give them my information, and I'll make sure to get it to you because I have proof. I have attorneys working on it, and the writings I did are there. And they've tried to do many things to me, but it hasn't happened yet. So.
So
I appreciate the gentleman on. He was accurate.
This is Don.
Thank you.
But everybody mute your phone because we had some background noise, and it's not Pat. It's just how things are. So, Leroy?
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, I want to recap by saying the pension language is very, very problematic. If it's not fixed by and through the attrition of the...
We got feedback.
Is this better or not?
That's better. Yeah. Okay.
I'll go with this. So to recap, the pension's problematic, okay? And if it's not corrected in this agreement, it'll likely never be corrected. And it could lead to the end of the Detroit 3 if management asks for a decertification vote after everybody's had a reduction in pension should the economy go south during this. I can't imagine that we're going to continue where we're at in this world. I know for a fact that there's unrealized losses in Class A real estate of 60%, down to 40%. 85% of the GM pension is in Class A real estate. The rest is subject to market action, and the snapshot day is the first day of October, and the implementation day is the first day of January after said 1st of October. Okay, so we're good this year, next year, and maybe the year after, but things aren't looking so good because as these leases expire, the unrealized losses will become real losses.
Mm-hmm.
Leases by big corporations where their employees now work from home and they don't need those skyscrapers anymore. So just know that's what we're looking for. You got to have some vision. You got to actually look around and see what else is coming down the road. Okay.
That's right.
And that's what we're doing here tonight. So,
well, good for you. I certainly would like to work with you because we're making major moves right now. We know what's going on and it's discouraging somewhat. And I thought at this point I would make the call in because we just got plagued this week. And a lot of people, let me say this in closing, many people are so upset with all the corruption that occurred a few years ago that I testified. I went to Washington, D.C., And I dare any listener today, we do need to get started, as he said, because it's very difficult and it's very illegal. And what you say is General Motors leads the pack in what they've done. We know the 2015 rules. We have them. I have the court action when I took it up to Washington. But the UAW cronies at that time were the real criminals, did everything they could to take us down and say that we were lying and we were taking money. I want to tell them, this network tonight, I spent $120,000 giving to unions, and it was most of the UAW. I told about the corruption. I wrote the books, and they're available if anybody needs them. Okay?
Thank you.
You bet.
So, Don, is there anything, or Scott, is there anything you'd like me to recap in addition that somebody might have question on that you're getting may have been had some feedback that didn't sound clear to them? I'm happy to recap that. Scott?
Leroy, I hear you.
Scott and
I don't
Don
know
sometimes.
Where huh. Scott is. sometimes they drop off.
I know they're here. Sometimes they talk
to
one
another. Is it for you on the show?
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Is that Gene?
Okay, hold on, everybody. Now, Scott,
Don, is there anything you'd like me to recap that people missed that you're getting feedback on?
Scott's got a question for you, I believe. Scotty? Hello.
Leroy, amongst all the stuff as we've been talking about, we discussed earlier about the Tier 2 or the in-progression workers. I think you told me that the correct word was separation. Can we kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Right.
What happens to them?
Yeah, exactly. In anyone hired before October of 2007 is considered to be a Tier 1. And those Tier 1s retire with a pension plan, okay? And they, when they leave, they're retired members. If you hired in afterward, and we've had some of these occur, a sister that I helped at a local in Flint, I met her mom who worked at a facility. She was old enough to leave General Motors based on her age, and she was a Tier 2, hired after 07, and she separated. And in separation, she has no membership in retirement.
Right.
Okay. So she separates, and so the retired membership is dwindling, and there are no new additions to it. And it just speaks volumes. Management knows that the Tier 2 are not members. Therefore, they can't leave as members.
Oh, wow.
They were never a member. Right?
That is accurate.
And it's not me saying it. It's the corporation separating those.
Yeah.
And
that's
the
correct,
fact
too.
That they have work permits being renewed every 3 months in 2007. It wasn't renewed this fall, and we saw the result of that through all of these layoffs immediate so that people wouldn't gain seniority at 90 days.
Oh.
What a mess.
So,
and the word is separate.
Separate.
Yeah,
so,
and the main powers on this should really work together, really.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah.
So
I'm saying right now, we need to get this together tonight, give a postal box and a street. I have evidence all over the place. I now have security where I live because of what I have. But everything you told tonight was A1 and accurate. And they blasphemed me. We had all kinds of problems. I moved in different sections when I was threatened. And what you said about the union is correct. And what you're talking about, the time frame, is accurate. And I need to work with someone like you. And we need to get the information out. If I go to a newspaper right now, they have been told by the inner attorney system, of which we have one of the best, that they said we stole money and all that. And they said, Pat, you need to move now, because if you don't, it's not going to go anywhere. And we have the perfect case setting right now. I will share this with all of you. I have seven people who used the situation. I've been to the plant. They've lied to them. We do know that the union didn't back them, and these kids don't have the seniority they're supposed to have. We've just completed a two-year section on this story, and we're ready to take it. If I have to fly to Washington again, I will. But I think that this conference we're having tonight, we need to get it out there. We need some newspaper. If you're scared, send them to my address. I have a library full of what we do. We have 57 volumes, honest, honest. And I kept, like, they did everything they could. I can remember all the guys, all the bad guys that were under trial. I get the court to come in and ask for information. They never went anywhere because the union was so damn corrupt. Excuse me. So please, someone get a hold of me and get this broadcast out there, and we can get this gentleman who spoke tonight to get to a reporter. We need to do that because I can back it up by legal documents, and let's go for it if we can. Please do that. I'm not giving my phone number because I'm not supposed to, but it's Pat Meyer Laws, Labor Advocate Worker Solution, Box right. 265, West Olive, 49460. I have to go, gentlemen, and you, all of you ladies, too. And someone call me if you get a chance, and I'll start working with you after Wednesday. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye, Pat.
Okay, Scott,
thank
you
thank
had
you,
the second part of your...
Thanks, Sister Meyer. Appreciate that. So,
absolutely. He's wonderful.
Okay. I want to back up a little bit if we can. Kind of go back over the separation for the in progression worker or the tier two. What happens when I've had, let's say I'm 65, I've had enough. I'm ready to, well, you can't say retire and you can't say quit. And you told me that the legal term would be separate. So I separate from my employer, from General Motors. Upon me separating, what happens at that point, Leroy?
You have no more affiliation with the UAW.
Correct.
And why?
Because you were never a member to begin with.
And what else is it? Because there's no benefits? You don't
well, there's no
go
benefits.
Into the VBA?
There's no pension, but more importantly, nope. the notion that this again, this is constitutional, the UAW constitution. Now, let me just talk about that just a second. When
excuse me, before
a
you
company
start.
Certifies, when a company certifies a union, they accept that union and its rules as they then apply to the employment of the members they represent. By certification, they accept not just them as the exclusive bargaining agent, but any and all rules that they have, including our Constitution, that directly affect the work and the contracts of the corporation. And what I'm talking about is Article 13, Section 22, that in part says employees may work under a work permit for 1 month, not to exceed 3 consecutive months, whereupon they would be laid off again or attain seniority under, I think it's paragraph 66 or 67 of the national agreement in General Motors, when you attain 90 days. If they don't have that, and by renewing that, it violates the Constitution as it is, no greater than 3 consecutive months. There's no renewing it. And that's being done behind the scenes, unknown to all of us, until about 4 weeks ago, when the letter was not renewed and employees, not members, were laid off before they attained 90 days. So we
so
see
my
that.
Question.
Okay.
So my question at this point was what you just said. Who at the international would know that they're being violated?
Who at the international?
Yes.
Well, the person signing these letters. the past presidents and the current president. But he didn't reach. He did not sign this last one.
We're getting feedback, man.
I know. I don't know what to do about it. Somebody got the computer on. Phone.
I don't have a computer or anything. Maybe some of the parties have other things going on and
yeah.
Might want to knock them off for a brief time while we discuss this.
Might have to blow the show up.
Can I have you elaborate again how the Tier 2 aren't really members?
First of all, when they leave the corporation, they separate. They don't retire, and they don't have to, you know, they don't have to have a pension to retire. They could retire without a pension or without health care. They could still retire as a member and say they're a retired member. That is not the case. They separate with no further affiliation with the UAW. They are not a retired member. That's indicative of the fact that they are not members as we speak. Also, we now know about a renewing letter of every 3 months that wasn't renewed this fall, and members, or employees, not members, were laid off subsequent to that not being re-signed.
So, well, thank you for answering the question. So then,
all right,
if,
Scott.
If
I have muted somebody. That's where I was getting the feedback. I found it was Miss Pat. So I had to mute. So Miss Pat, I muted you till it clears up, okay? And I'll put you back on in a few minutes, and we'll see. Make sure all the feedback. Okay, go ahead, guys. We can hear you good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. And I know the listeners will be pleased to have that all that over.
You got that right.
Even saying that, even trying to talk through it is a little difficult. I try to say something, and then it pauses until it stops. But
no.
So we're back to normal now. So thank you. Thank you, Don.
So then, real quick, then, if I'm a Tier 2 or in progression worker, dues right now, that make me like a temporary member of the UAW?
You are a employee working under a work permit under Article 13, Section 22. You are entitled to all the benefits and advantages of the agreements, national and local, but you may not participate in any further goings-on or activities of the union in the Constitution.
That would also include voting, right?
Pretty much, I would say that's activities of the union.
Right.
I've disagreed with this. Jeff Brown found it some years ago, and he ran with it. We covered it. I can't tell you how many times on the Working for a Living show. So,
right.
This is something we're covering here now on your show, and I'm happy and thank you for inviting me, Scott, to and Don to participate in this discussion this evening.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you coming on and helping people to understand what some of these things that are going on.
Right.
Really do
right.
Appreciate that.
This has been going on since 07. Since the 2007 agreement in October, when it was finalized, when they gave it to the, I think it was October 22nd, when they finally gave it to the Department of Labor. Came settled law, settled contract, even though we settled it much before, I think September 27th. It didn't get to the Department of Labor, I think, until October 22nd. And that was the date anybody before that is supposed to be Tier 1. But you know, that's not being, I mean, I know there's people listening to this show tonight that are in that arena between the September and October 22nd. So, and they do not benefit by tier one status. So there's a lot going on here. And
yes,
I'm pretty disgusted with it all, quite frankly, and to see it not be addressed, especially the pension, that this could be the end of the UAW as we know it.
Yeah, it's disheartening. And the reason I don't mean to be redundant, but why I keep asking, who knows about this? Does IEB knows about this? They absolutely do know about that. They're doing this at us.
I can tell you that I communicate with hundreds of people. Not regular, but sometimes 2-3 times a week, sometimes every 2 weeks, something like that. And one of the participants, not in all of the emails, but one of them that did receive the email regarding pension, is on the IEB. He's arguably a pretty good friend that I've actually helped without going into some detail some time ago. You know, we have a pretty good working relationship. I know it was brought to the attention of the rest of the IEB. That went out on a Wednesday evening or Thursday morning about 1:30 a.m., and I know that the current president of the UAW said at his Friday review that we need to take the pension language back to 2007. Of course, nothing was done on that. I was really hopeful. I heard that, but it didn't occur.
Wow.
Okay, I've been real quiet until now. We have such a risk to our union, especially the Detroit 3, as we go forward. The company asks in a couple of years, after a pension reduction of whatever, if that occurs, and that's highly likely, because the pension funding has been going down the last few years. You guys don't get, well, Don gets it, but I, Scott, not yet. If you ever retire after knowing this, I don't recommend anybody to retire at this point. Especially in the face that you could lose it all, you know. So, and the law is clear. You don't get the PBGC. You get the lesser of.
Here's a good question. Here's a good question for you. Somebody in the chat room just asked. So if Tier 2 isn't supposed to have a vote as a member, then the ones at the part plants and LLC that aren't part of the contract yet definitely legally shouldn't be able to.
The ones at the, well there's two types of parts plant. One that makes parts, and then you have the warehousing that warehouses parts. So
right.
I would ask for clarification on that first before I answer the question.
Okay. Let's see. Well, evidently they're listening. Let's see. Clarification.
Okay.
Please.
Well, I'll address it. You know, let me just address it more. There's two sides to this. GMH is paid less. They got and they did that, I think, in the 2015 agreement, as you might recall, Scott. They created the H. So there's about 5 or 6 of those facilities, as I recall. They're members. They are a subsidiary of General Motors, and as I understand it, they are under the national agreement. They get paid less money, and they have some different language that affects them. They are members, and as they are tier ones, they would vote. So that wouldn't change. Anybody that's hired after, the 2007 agreement that went to the Department of Labor would be a Tier 2 and subject to that letter being re-signed every 3 months
in violation of the UAW Constitution, by the way. So that addresses that. The CCA version, our members under the national agreement, subject to the Tier 2 status on October of 2007, okay, and they would, employees would be Tier 1s, enjoy membership. The Tier 2s would enjoy the benefits of the agreement without ability to participate in the functioning and activities of the union. Contrary to a letter written by Region 8 Director Ray Curry in, I believe, 2017 or 18, one of those, it was after the election. It was after the 18, so it would have been 18 or 19 that he wrote that.
Right. Like,
and
guess
it was
what?
Absolutely incorrect in his writing.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. So I'm just saying that, like the LLCs, that the subsidiary that's moved inside in certain plants, those people.
GM Subsystems LLC are a different entity.
Right.
They are not subject to the national agreement. They have their own agreement.
But they're trying to bring them under the master agreement now. The language is for them to come in, like at our plant, we have LLC
inside the
house.
Right, right.
They'll now be members of my local and be here, and they'll have floor rights out to the floor.
If they, in that language, say they are now members, and
right.
not under a work permit, then they would enjoy the full benefits of the contract and ability to participate in union activities and functions.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay, they would be. Okay, if they're changing that. That would be a welcome change, quite frankly. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say we don't want the Tier 2s. We want them to be members. We want them to have a pension. We want everything for them that we have.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
How about that, right? And I thought that's where this was going, but I don't see it. And I don't see the protection in the pension plan that could cause the end of the UAW if management asks for a certification vote when all these people are angry and there's very few Tier 1s left.
So if I'm a part-time temporary, how do I know if I'm under a work permit or not?
Because of what you just said, part-time temporary. If you didn't hire before 2007, subject to any changes in this agreement, okay, they give you membership status.
Same as
a Tier 2.
Same as in progression then. Same language
Correct.
Covers them.
Correct. Anybody that has to have that work permit language, and when you separate, I mean, the corporation's telling us if you're a member. If you're a member, you retire as a member. With or without a pension or health care in retirement, you would still retire as a member. And they're saying you separate. The corporation's telling us very clearly that they're not members. Proved all these bad agreements since 2011. They participated in these.
Adrian, you got a question?
Yeah, I needed to know how long we were going.
Oh. Till 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. To let everybody know. Remember, they only have
2 hours.
20 minutes to press one.
Well,
that's true.
You got to. In recap, the pension is that's in the language Exhibit A right now. GM only the Ford and Chrysler, Stellantis. That language is not in there, as I recall it, Scott, when we recap this. GM is the only one actually relieved from liability, further liability after 2009. All of the agreements say have the Pension Protection Act of 2006 in it that was passed by Congress in 2006 and signed by the President in 2006. Pay attention to that year, by the way. I'm not getting political. I'm just telling you that's when it occurred. And it says if the funding falls below 80%, you get the lesser of the PBGC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, or 50% of your existing vested pension, not the supplement. Okay? If it falls below 60% funding, the pension plan ceases to pay out, period. Again, if that triggers going forward and you have very few tier ones left because they all went into the attrition of the pension plan as the 40%, you know, has attrition down to their expected EV, even if it's some percentage of that, let's say 20% attrition, you're still going to have very angry active workers in the plant, and they're, you know, likely to vote to decertify because management, if they ask for a certification, we just forgot that they can do that. If management asks for a certification vote, the chances of that decertification occurring are very high. Because the tier twos, if they continue to allow to vote, will not vote to protect the tier ones in this instance. All you got to do is look at the Facebook pages and see their anger right now. We don't care about your pension. We want the money. We're going to get it. We get 9.5% pay into our 401k, which is very good, by the way, unless we have the 401ks turning into 0.5ks, not a 401, not even 101k. That's possible. Having said that, that took care of the mix. Direct labor costs, all this bluster about the wages going up and we got record everything, right? Okay, record 100% now, 20%, 26% up. That's real nice. Looks good. Okay, 126% from what it is now, 40% attrition through the transition to EVs, or some iteration, we'll say 40, we'll just go with that. That takes us down to 86% direct labor costs from what it is now. It's a give back of 14% to the corporation. Again, Mary Barra is doing backflips, and all of her team are doing backflips into the General Motors pool. Few of them found parachutes to just parachute into the Detroit River. They're so damn happy about this one. But you have to have vision and look forward, okay? The tier two situation we've covered at ad nauseum, and then the whole arbitration thing for the Lordstown people under the reallocation plan. There were some 300 disadvantaged members that were supposed to get $75,000, and that has been a positive arbitration decision in favor of the members, and there's been no push to compel the corporation to pay that $75,000 to those $3,000 to those 300 workers, roughly. There should have been a motion to compel in federal court, and General Motors paid that. It should not be reloaded into the negotiations as it is already a settled decision. So that's the recap of what I've had to say this evening. If Scott or Don or anybody else have any other questions regarding any of those.
No, I think you answered what I wanted to hear. And the ladies in Arlington, the ladies in Arlington are very concerned now.
I hope everybody's concerned.
Yeah.
We were supposed to fix the tier one and tier two stuff, this contract, and we should have fixed this pension language going forward.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be what it was. I mean, this corporation's making billions a quarter. They surely can afford to make sure the pension plan is back in good stead. And that could have been done in the federal court by the union as well. Just go back in there and amend the bankruptcy agreement because of the egregious profits that are being done right now. It could be done any number of ways, even by and through new negotiations. But that's one way. There's a lot of ways to do it. Again, these are protected by any and all of the United States organic laws as described in the preamble of the United States Code. That includes the Declaration of Independence. As some of you know, I have an original copy as my descendant of the calligrapher that made the 13 for the states, and he made himself a 14th. I have that. It's also protected under the First and 14th Amendments of the Constitution, Title 29 U.S.C. 157, also Section 411A2, and by any and all retaliations as protected under Title 29 U.S.C. 481E. So that should cover it, that we are doing this for the protected and concerted interest of the membership. I think trying to protect the damn union is just about as much as you can possibly imagine that we could possibly do as members, the viability of a continued UAW. So.
No, this whole thing wasn't about doom and gloom. We're trying to bring this information to the membership so that you can be informed
right.
of what's going on. And
right.
I mean, and I can't tell anybody how to vote, and I won't.
No,
but I can say, in my opinion, to all of our brothers and sisters who haven't voted yet, in light of the information you've heard tonight, you got a hard decision to make. And in my opinion, it would be a no vote for this national contract.
Right. The other thing regarding the protections here, we not only have protection to educate the membership as we've done this evening, we have an obligation under Article 2 or Article 4, Section 2, I guess it is, under the UAW Constitution to keep an informed and educated membership. Can't treat us like mushrooms, keep us in the dark and feed us bullshit. You know, that's not the way we're supposed to run this union. And when we ask questions about pension in the rollouts, you're supposed to answer them. By the way, that's a violation of federal law not to do so. It's a violation of federal law not to give any member, regardless of where their pension may be coming from, a retired member or any member is entitled to any and all agreements, those books, Exhibit A for the pensions, the pension supplement, any and all of those, the life insurance supplement, all of them, including the umbrella agreement. If you refuse to give that, it is a violation of federal law. And we have become pretty practiced and have the ear of the National Labor Relations Board now because they're seeing what's continued in our union now, and they are stepping up finally. So having said that, we are protected under everything known to say what we just said. And I believe everything that I have added here this evening to be absolutely true and correct based on all of the information I've been given and the existing contract language, to which may not be superintended by any other agreement unless that has occurred at subcouncil or by MOU at the local level. MOU at the local level may not superintend the national agreement. Having said that, brothers and sisters, thank you for having me. If it's nothing else, I'll let you get to your work.
All right.
Thank you.
I got another question, Leroy.
Okay.
Do you know when is the last time that the board approved monies to go into the pension fund, GM's board?
The agreement changed in 2009. Up until then, monies were added. I don't know the exact date that they added monies. We usually heard some sort of whining and crying in the press about they have to add $2 or $3 billion to the pension fund. That ended in 2009 for sure, and I'm not exactly sure when the last payment to the pension plan was made. It is a separate trust now. The pension is in a trust and has been before all of this. This is like into the 90s. They made it into a trust for the pension plan. But there are board members from the UAW and General Motors, and I've actually made an appeal that was pulled by the local benefit rep improperly on another issue that went to the Supreme Court that I had. I've had two of those cases go to the Supreme Court, one about the VEBA and one about discrimination. That was pulled by my local union benefit rep, and they're not supposed to. You're supposed to be able to still appeal to the pension plan on something that you feel is improper.
In December of 22, General Motors made a $4 billion pension plan contribution.
Okay.
And it brought you to how much funding? Was it at 100%, 90%? What was it at?
It was at 80% the last that we knew. I remember, I think it was Mark Royce, vice president. I think he said at one time that they didn't have to make any more contributions. That was before this. So they didn't have to make any more contributions, because there was no new Social Security numbers being added to the pension fund.
Right.
Basically, they're waiting for everybody to die.
In 2006, there were 1 million Detroit 3 retirees, and there were 510,000 GM retirees. I'm told that the total number now is 285,000 across the Detroit 3. Now, I'm unaware of this 2022 infusion of money, because it doesn't show up on the year-end statements that we get, Ron and I get, and others that are in the pension plan. Does not show up there. In fact, the pension plan's gone down. So that pension, I know what you're talking about there. That was added to the salary pension plan. I'm sorry, that's not us. That was added to the salary pension plan. Look deeper in that article.
Right, and that is, if I remember right, they, for all better purposes, they flipped them over and put them into an annuity, right?
In 96 they did, but they still added money in, as you indicated, and there was some special court case that required that, as I recall.
The article that we've just found, Gene just found, was, said $2.7 billion was contributed to the hourly plan and $1.3 billion into the salary plan. It doesn't say in the article.
There's hourly employees that are not members of the UAW.
That's correct, like the nurses and the engineers.
Right.
Some
of those are salary and some are not. Yeah. So there are hourly members that are not under our agreement. There are hourly workers at General Motors that are not necessarily under our agreement, because they are exempt employees even though they're hourly.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's an entirely different, very long conversation.
Animal there. Right. I would recommend that people would listen to the show 2, 3, 4 times. There's a lot of information. albeit there might be some interruptions. There was a lot of information given out. Go back and listen to that. There was a lot of information given. Listen to this. Dissect this. Think about it. Ask questions. You may not get answers, but ask some questions.
And thank you for all the questions that came in tonight. I very much appreciate it. Certainly appreciate the invitation here. If I'll say this, if in the next couple of days you know, back in 15, we had a show, put on a show, and I was part of that show at that time. And
that's
Scott
right.
And I, we had a show every night of the week. So if there's a need for a show on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day you guys want to have it, if there's a need, I'm happy to participate with you because this is that serious.
It is very serious. We can do
that
too. Absolutely. Leroy, as usual, you're a fountain of information, and I thank you, and I'm sure the future separated retirees / retirees appreciate information.
Let's hope that we can make them all members. Let's try to make them all members, and maybe this show itself can affect that. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, fellas, for having me, and thank you for bringing this to light.
I'm sure we'll be getting in touch with you, Leroy.
Okay, thank you. Look forward to that. And Scott, if you want to follow up, I'm happy to take any questions or anything off the air later as needed too. So, thanks again. I'll sign off now, or I'll just sit back and listen as you guys close your show.
Okay, thank you, Leroy, very much.
Thank you.
As usual, Leroy comes with the information. Breaks it down for everybody. I appreciate that. He makes it sound where I can, if I can understand it, I know everybody else can understand it. So that's what I like about, always liked about Leroy. When he says something, he breaks it down for us normal people. Thank you, Leroy.
Right. I broke down, as a temporary staff member, I broke down to 11 counties legislation every month. So I got pretty good at breaking it down to, you know, everybody can understand it. So I try to do that. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And some of this is very complicated. And, you know, this gets it down to the nitty-gritty of what it actually is. So
no, it's over my head.
Yeah.
Over my head. Now, I know Adrian. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Before you leave, are you aware of the letter that was – supposed letter that was put out on official union head for the Mack truck workers?
No, I heard about it, but I didn't see it. I'll say that.
Okay, I'll just have to see if I can get that to you somehow.
I've had a couple of my own team members calling in, and I couldn't take your call because I was talking, so I apologize to those team members because I just couldn't get to you while I'm on this podcast show here. But there may be a need to bring up something that they're talking about. So if you have another show, I'll be happy to bring that into if there's anything. And Scott and I will discuss that. But I'm not familiar with that, Scott.
Okay.
I haven't cleaned up that other stuff. I don't know. What's the substance of that, Scott?
Well, I got time. I'll read it real quick. It's short. It's
uh-huh.
Three paragraphs. It opens up. It is from local number 677, chartered in 1939, self-serving employees and retirees of Americold Logistics, Mack Trucks, and First Student. It says, dear brothers and sisters, as a bargaining committee, we met with the company on Tuesday, November 7th, 2023, in Philadelphia to discuss our demands for the master contract. The union put formal requests across the table to address members' needs. We rejected all our proposals. The company declared that we were at the impasse, deadlocked, and that they had gave their last, best, and final offer. Ultimate offer to be made in negotiation. The master proposal that we were presenting is the same proposal that was presented to the membership for our first vote. We did get the company to agree to some significant changes in the local agreement since we have been on strike. With that being said, negotiations are over, so we must bring everything back to the membership for a vote. If the master is voted down, there will be no $3,500 ratification bonus, and the company will implement their last offer. We will still be on strike. That being said, the company will also hire replacement workers. What this means for you as a member is that you will lose your job unless you cross the picket lines. And if you hire enough workers, you will not be able to go back to work until there is an opening. Also, the company will, per the company, your insurance benefits will be cut off December 1st, 2023. We are providing this for the informational purpose only. This is not meant to be a scare tactic. This is reality. In solidarity, your local 677 negotiation committee.
Okay. They are correct. They're not allowed to use a scare tactic to affect a, this is federal law, to affect a vote. So their last paragraph, the last sentence there is absolutely correct. It's also absolutely correct that they have the right since 1986, the Pistons owner, I believe is Davidson, had manufacturing, and he began to use the permanent replacement language in the Wagner Act. We tried to get that changed in subsequent Congresses. We had the votes under the first 2 years of Clinton administration. He did not use the bully pulpit to get the one Senate vote that we needed, and that remains law. As it stands, they can replace us as we're on strike. It is also, I would expect, a unfair labor negotiation, unfair labor act by the corporation not to seek further negotiations prematurely. I would suggest that that occur. Somebody file an unfair labor act by that local union to that, or that national union regarding that. But that's up to them to do that. I can only suggest what I would think that should be done in that regard. Unfair labor practice would stop any and all striker replacements from coming in, as there would be an injunction immediately by the National Labor Relations Board, as I understand it. I cannot speak to how that would occur. They only have the ability to do that. While we have a pretty friendly labor board, National Labor Relations Board now, we don't know how they would respond to such an unfair labor act by the corporation from this union. All of what's in that letter is absolutely true, and it may apply to the GM, Ford, and Stellantis that may not be approved here. Understand that there's also the possibility going forward that you might not even have a UAW based on what we covered earlier. Okay?
Yeah. Kind of like the Billy Robinson and Accuride. A lockout, basically, right?
And Con Selmer down in Elkhart, Indiana, when in 2007 I spoke in Peoria, Illinois, and wound up on front page articles on the Elkhart paper and the Peoria paper regarding a single local being on strike, and they didn't have any support from any other local. It was the only local in the region at that time. We got assistance to them from hundreds of miles away after those two articles on the front page of those two papers came out as a result of an interview of myself. So we do have some history there, but subsequent to that, they were permanently placed and decertified. The union decertified them.
Wow.
The same thing that happened to Billy Robinson. who looks just like my uncle. I have a step uncle that he looks. When I met him in Peoria, I had he looked like my uncle Jack. I'm telling you, it could be my relation. That's an aside. But that did happen to Billy Robinson. Call him the Freightliner Five. There at Freightliner some time ago.
Yeah, remember.
I remember the Freightliner Five.
Yeah, exactly.
Me too.
Billy's a friend, and I talk to him. Well, it's been a few years since I've talked to him, but I do talk to him from time to time. He'll pop in and say something on one of my posts now and then. But God love him. He's a good union brother, and he was the president there. And they don't have nothing. Didn't get anything. Sad. Real sad.
Okay.
So, Consell, wow. Same thing happened, and now we're seeing it here. And I thought we had a board member on Freightliner. Wasn't it Williams that was so happy to be on there, on the board of Freightliner, and they put somebody else on that board? So it might be that we have some presence there that should be helping here. If that's continued,
right.
I don't know. I just don't know. I know they replaced Williams with somebody else on the board. He was not an elected IEB member at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, thank you for your thoughts on that.
A lot of happy news, right?
Well,
so
hey,
on a
happier note, we can say to all our brothers and sisters that have served in one branch of our armed services, including the Coast Guard. Thank you all for your service.
And
Adrian,
Space
Don.
Happy birthday to
Space Force.
The Marines.
Don't forget Space Force.
Space Force.
Six branches. Yeah, Adrian's a veteran. Myself.
Yes.
So happy Veterans Day weekend to everybody for sure. Thanks, Scott.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for everybody's service. And Adrian, you have something to tell us about the over-the-counter drugs?
Uh-oh. Yes, and I found out some more information that really pissed me off.
Look up, Adrian.
We didn't know that everyone does not get $150.
No, I didn't know that.
That's correct.
No, I didn't know it either. Until I had someone tell me that because they're under the traditional Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're only allotted
$50. Right.
$50?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
And when I asked about January 2024, they didn't know. They couldn't. You know, if it doubled or what have you.
Yeah.
But, retirees, please do not forget to use your over-the-counter products. You can order them. You can go online to uawtrust.org/OTC benefit. Or you can call them at 877-218-9951.
All right.
So, I was quite upset to find that out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
We just thought that everyone get $150.
Right.
So, so now I'm going to say you get anywhere from $50 to $150 this year, 2022. You have until December the 31st.
2023. It's
2020,
Adrian.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my catalog book. It says 2022.
Okay.
2023. December the 31st, 2023.
Yeah.
Get your orders in. The orders come quickly. Like you place an order and you'll get it 3 to 5 days usually.
Yeah, yeah. Mine came real quick. I was really surprised. Really surprised. I think
yeah,
3 days.
Don't let that go to waste.
Yeah, definitely. They got vitamins.
They're already screwing over everybody.
Just giving you a hint. Don't get the cough medicine unless you like whiskey. If you can drink whiskey,
oh,
you can drink this stuff. Oh, gosh. It scared my cough away. I'm telling you, it was that bad.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, God. And a little, they're little bottles, too. And I'm using
like
them.
2 ounce as, bottles?
I don't know what the hell they are. I put them up on the fence post and shot them. I wasted my money on that. I didn't. I got Band-Aids. I got all kinds of good stuff.
Were you Longmire or John Dutton? Got to have some fun, Mister. Come on, guys.
That's right, exactly.
You got that right.
Go out there shooting bottles.
Oh, you bet.
And the other thing
yeah,
too is. If you're watching the television commercials on the Medicare, please do not call those numbers. If you need to ask a question about Medicare Advantage, call your local benefit rep or
That's
your
right.
regional benefit rep, or turn your insurance card over and call them. But don't call those numbers off the television, because if you say the wrong thing to them and they take you off of the VEBA, you may or may not be able to get back into the VEBA. Mm-hmm. And they have deductibles as, you know, like $1,000.
Yeah. And
so
believe me, they want you out of the VEBA, so it will take their sweet time getting you back
right.
in. They get you in at all.
That's so right.
Just be very careful, and before you do anything, at least call them. At least find out some information before you sign up for anything.
Right.
Right.
Quick thanks to Pat for being on tonight too.
Oh, absolutely.
And sharing what she has to share.
Absolutely. She's always welcome, just like Leroy. Always welcome. And if anybody needs to do a show this week, contact us.
Contact you.
We will do it. We will do it. All right? I'm not doing anything.
No, got about 50 seconds left.
That's it. Everybody, have a safe week.
And I have no update on Melissa. Just real quick, I have no update on Melissa other than they have, they do have her in a room. They've done some blood work, so she's waiting on that. I'm trying to think what else she said, but hold on. And they did a chest x-ray.
Okay.
So she's just waiting on that information to come back.
No, I'm glad she's in there anyway, and they're checking on her. You all take care. We'll keep Melissa in our prayers. Jean, keep us posted on her situation.
I will do that.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union.